Here we go!
Welcome to the Nintendo Power Zone, guys. It is E3 week, and all the major studios have finally finished up with their presentations, including Nintendo. And it's finally time for us to discuss all the games and announcements that came out during this year's trade show. So I'm joined by my co-host, Blues. Jaden may pop into the episode a little bit later. Welcome back to the show, man. We have a lot to talk about. So without further ado, man, let's just get right into the thick of it. So we had three press conferences over the weekend. We had Ubisoft, Bethesda, and Square Enix. Let's go ahead and kick things off with Ubisoft. I'm going to start here. I am really disheartened by the fact that Ubisoft's presence on the Nintendo Switch is really lackluster. Last year, we got Mario Rabbids. Last year, we got, Starlink Battle for Atlas. Mm-hmm. This year, we got Just Dance 2020.
And didn't we get like a Battle for Gods and Monsters, right, yeah, as well? Which looks pretty beautiful.
But it's multi-platform, and it looks all right.
So is Battle for Atlas, though.
Yeah,
so but we got bonus content.
Are we going to get the same kind of, like, exclusive content? Like, honestly, because if Gods and Monsters is going to give us exclusive Nintendo content, Kid Icarus is the perfect franchise to play with. Now, whether or not Nintendo will like that crossover potential, we don't know. But yeah, Gods and Monsters, all we saw for it was a cinematic trailer, so didn't really say anything much about the game. It was like, when the gods need help, who do they call? They call on you. And I'm like, wow, that is the most generic trailer dialogue I have ever seen at E3. It was lame.
I don't think anything that Ubisoft showed really showed gameplay, though, did it? It was all mostly cinematics, and so Gods and Monsters is no exception, really.
Except for Watch Dogs. They showed, like, way too long of Watch Dogs.
I mean, it was a strong start, and Watch Dogs is looking a lot better than the first two. I guess the first two was promising, though, so, I mean,
look, I think Watch Dogs is great, but we know what's not coming to the Nintendo Switch, so I just, you know, I don't really care. I mean, I'll get Watch Dogs.
They could port 3, it's not unheard of. They've put it on the Wii U.
Yeah, but for real, like I'm just really kind of disappointed. I was kind of holding out for hope for a sequel to Mario Rabbids, especially considering how well that game sold, you know, for Nintendo and Ubisoft. I know Starlink was under the mark for them, like severely under the mark, but it did sell best on the Nintendo Switch. And they did just do a massive update to that game that included a lot of extra cool content, but I really wanted to see that, like, connection between Nintendo and Ubisoft expand. So I was hoping for more. Go back to Just Dance for a second before we forget, yo, this game is getting released on the Wii.
But not the Wii U.
Yeah, the Wii. That's so weird. 13 years later, this is like the Smash community playing you know, Melee on the GameCube.
I mean, it's only because people will buy it. There are a group of people who only own Wiis, don't own the other consoles, and they want to play their Just Dance every single year. And it's understandable why Ubisoft does it then, because there's a market for this. There's money where that is. There's not money where the Wii U is. There's decent money with the Switch and the Xbox One and like all the other systems coming out for. But there's dedicated people who are also just dedicated to getting on the Wii.
Now, I have a question. I'm fairly certain that they shut down the Wii's eShop not too long ago.
So I don't know how they do any kind of connectivity, yeah.
Exactly. How do they do any updates, like, where purchasable songs or anything like that? It's a weird... Mm-hmm. It's a weird release, but, yeah. For me, Ubisoft was really disappointing. Thoughts?
To me, it kind of feels like Ubisoft... They didn't have the strongest showing, obviously, but I think that's because they have their fingers in lots of different people's pies right now. We got, you know, at the Microsoft presentation, confirmation that the Xbox Project Scarlet is existing. We got confirmation from Sony earlier this sort of spring/summer that the PS5 is happening. And so I feel like for most of the studios, just in general, we are seeing a weaker showing simply because they're not... They're closing out this current system, hardware line, whatever, and they're getting all hands on deck for the new generation of systems, the Project Scarlet and PS5. And they've already, you know, Ubisoft, you know, they already kickstarted the Switch. The Switch is doing fine. They can add some games on there later if they need to. But I think they want to get a head start on this new generation. You already have that start on the Switch. So I think that's sort of where they're thinking.
Not to mention that they also started their support for Stadia. They were like the first major studio to do it.
Yeah,
so, I mean,
for sure.
That's happening. I mean, like, I'm not hating on like Ubisoft. Like, they've made really fantastic games for the Switch. Mm-hmm. I just felt like this year was like, this is your weakest year. You guys have done so good in supporting the Switch from day one. Mm-hmm. And where you guys at? It's not like with EA where EA announced FIFA 2020 and it's like, hey, no Frostbite engine. But yeah, they're not really going to use Frostbite engine in the other game, I don't think. So who? I mean, I could care less about what EA is doing for any console, but it's always I always care less when we're talking about the Nintendo Switch and EA. There wasn't a whole lot to say for Nintendo as far as Ubisoft is concerned. If I'm just being 100% honest, just those two games, and one of them is both of them being multi-platform releases. So now, next up is Bethesda. We all knew going into this that Bethesda was going to have a really hard time winning over the crowd because of controversies in 2018. They had the whole
Fallout 76,
the whole thing with the duffel bags, the whole thing with the Nuka Dark, the alcohol coming in a plastic bottle instead of a glass bottle. And Bethesda's had a rough year.
Yeah. But it was also going to be harder, I think, because they pretty much preemptively said, hey, we're not going to be showing our two biggest games that you want to see at E3. We're not showing The Elder Scrolls 6, and I forget what their other game that they... That
spacefaring game that they were working on. I can't remember the name of it either.
I can't remember. It was some kind of space game, though.
Yeah. So basically what Bethesda was bringing to the table was stuff we already knew about. We got some deeper looks at things, and that's kind of it. We got commitment to them saying, hey, we're going to fix Fallout 76. Not that they haven't been doing that gradually. It's just really slow. Anyway, the games that we did get announced for the Nintendo Switch, all three we knew about from last year's E3. So we have Doom Eternal, Wolfenstein Youngblood, and The Elder Scrolls Blades, which is a mobile game that's been out for about a year now. And they're just now kind of getting around to
getting
optimizing that for the Switch. You know, I have no problem with mobile titles, especially when they come from AAA developers, being ported over to the Switch. I don't actually think we see enough mobile-style games on the Nintendo Switch. I keep looking at games like Hearthstone and wondering, Activision Blizzard, what are you guys doing? That Hearthstone still isn't on the Nintendo Switch. But yeah, I mean, I have no problem with it, but Elder Scrolls Blades doesn't necessarily look like a game that I want to play. I think it looks graphically, it looks pretty. The gameplay looks all right. It just doesn't look like a game I personally want to play. It reminds me of that one game that was on iOS.
Infinity Blade, right?
Infinity Blade, yeah. Reminds me of Infinity Blade a lot. By the way, there's an arcade version of Infinity Blade at Dave & Buster's that's terrible.
It's worse than the Fruit Ninja one.
Oh, and the Fruit Ninja one is bad. Yeah, Dave & Buster's needs to stop letting mobile games come out as arcade games and trying to pimp us on those products. Anyhow, yeah, Elder Scrolls Blades looks all right. It looks all right. It's just not a game that I foresee myself playing, but it is free. Free to play. Free to play. Let me correct myself. It's free to play. So there's going to be like some kind of monetization. I haven't downloaded that game, so I don't know what their monetization system looks like in that game. I probably should have before we started. Oh well, it is what it is. Wolfenstein Youngblood still looks phenomenal. Wolfenstein, you know, for this console generation, has been a big hitter. It definitely came with the slaps. So I'm interested in seeing Wolfenstein Youngblood. Hope they release like a dual pack of both games, because I still haven't bought Wolfenstein yet. But if you release a double pack, I'm on it. Or if you do something special in the eShop, I'll get both games instantly. Doom Eternal looks like the best game in the bunch.
Doom is Doom, yeah.
Yeah. So
classic.
I think that's the only game I'm really looking forward to out of Bethesda. Any particular thoughts on Bethesda's showing?
No, I think what, like you said, it was exactly kind of what we expected. I also made the, you know, the comment earlier about how Ubisoft, and for the case of Bethesda as well, they have their fingers in everyone else's different pies right now. So, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Now, the next press conference came with a few slaps. Something mm-hmm. that made me happy. Made me really happy because I was like thinking, you know, I have hopes for what Square would bring to the Switch. Now, ultimately, they didn't match those hopes, but they still came with some things that I actually really appreciated. And a couple of shadow drops. Square with the shadow drops. First up, we saw Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles. This game actually looks better than the way it looked last year when they showed it off. They did confirm online multiplayer for it. Looks great. Crystal Chronicles was a fantastic game on the GameCube. And it was the game that started the rebuilding of the relationship between Nintendo and Square Enix after that nasty fallout they had during the transition between the Super Nintendo, N64, PS1 era. So, looking forward to Crystal Chronicles. They showed off The Last Remnant. That got shadow dropped the day of, and I'm like, whoa, Last Remnant? Now, Last Remnant has a nice history to it. If I'm not mistaken, it was part of that like petition where a bunch of Nintendo fans wanted certain games like Sin and Punishment and Xenoblade and obviously The Last Remnant. They wanted that game to come out in the U.S. Nintendo had like they didn't really want to bring those games over, but the petition caught a lot of heat, and then they did end up, you know, helping Square publish the game here in the U.S. Came out on the Wii. All's good.
I'm not sure that's The Last Remnant. I'm pretty sure thinking of The Last Story.
I might be.
The Last Story, I'm pretty positive, was part of that petition. I'm not sure if Last Remnant was or not, but I know for a fact that Xenoblade and Last Story were on that petition.
I'm going to go ahead and look. Yeah. I'm just going to verify.
Last Remnant, I'm pretty sure, is maybe older than that sort of era of games.
Well, 2009, so...
No, it's about right, actually. Never mind. I don't know. We should have fact-checked this, but it's kind of cool to see this come, especially with the Shadow Drop. I was absolutely not expecting it. So it was very nice. So it was playable, you know, the same day. So, you know, what, the day before Nintendo's Nintendo Direct. Super cool to see.
Yeah, just pretty much just slapped us in the face right when it was like, hey... Yeah. Here's our conference. As soon as our conference is over, don't go anywhere because we still got stuff to talk about. But mm-hmm. as soon as our conference is over, you're going to get this game.
And it looks good. It's a really good game by the looks of it.
They showed off Dragon Quest Builders 2 again, and I'm finally convinced on Dragon Quest Builders. That trailer they showed for it was great. I mean, the narration during the trailer was way over the top. Like, you just kept getting louder and louder and louder until the very end, Dragon Quest Builders 2! And I was like, holy shit, this guy is on some crack because he is way up there right now. But no, like, the building all looks great. The playing, the bits of story elements that they showed off in that game all look really good. The game could be a whole lot of fun. I'm not a big, like... Minecraft guy, so I always look at Dragon Quest Builders as like Minecraft Lite. This one actually looks a lot of fun, so I was like, okay, you guys convinced me. I think we got a release date for that game.
Yeah, I believe so. I think it's this September, that or July. It's summer. It's right. This summer. Dragon Quest Builders 2. Let's Google this real quick. Release date is going to be. That's not for the U.S. release. Hang on. That would have already happened.
Yeah. We don't get global launches from Square.
Let's see here. Loading Nintendo's site says fairly July 12th. Okay. Yeah,
it's literally right around the corner. That's going to be available on, I think, every platform?
I'm not sure if it's available on Xbox. I think it should be, actually, but... I don't think a whole lot of Square games are
there. It looked like Xbox kind of got screwed by Square during Square's portion of E3. It looks like they kind of shot them a little bit because it's like a couple big games that got announced that didn't get an Xbox release window.
You think about, you know, the games that Square Enix makes, though. Square Enix makes a lot of JRPGs and a lot of games that mostly target, you know, a Japanese audience. And so the Xbox just doesn't do too well in Japan, though. So they don't need to make games for Xbox, is the thing. It's just smarter for them to not worry about it, really.
Yes.
And that's what they've been doing for most of this console generation, really.
So next up, they showed off the Romancing Saga 3 and Saga Scarlet Grace. I didn't think we actually got release dates for those. But big games for man, if you like JRPGs,
Square,
they really came out and said we're gonna get as JRPG as we possibly can get this console for like this part of this console generation.
And you know, it's nice to Square, who is like all of the major JRPGs under their belt.
True. It's also really nice to see all these games coming out on the Switch, because more and more the Switch is becoming like your go-to RPG machine. But it's also like your go-to fighting game system now too. Like all they need to do is get some like more contemporary fighting games on the Nintendo Switch, and that's a wrap. Because the only thing, I mean, obviously PlayStation has Street Fighter exclusivity, but you put the newest Street Fighter game on the Switch, and that's it. The Switch becomes your go-to fighting game console. All right, so we have one more game to talk about. So last year, the last year's Direct, I think it was around February or March back in 2018, Square showcased a crap ton of games from their Final Fantasy series. That included 7, 9, Chocobo Mystery Dungeon, Final Fantasy 10, 10-2 HD Remaster, Final Fantasy 12. All that good stuff. They announced a boatload of games. This one was conspicuously missing. Final Fantasy VIII. We had no idea why Final Fantasy VIII had gotten skipped. We know now why. We now know why, as I should say. I can't speak today. I'm just super excited about E3, guys. Final Fantasy VIII is getting an HD remastered edition. And man, was I really not expecting that. A full-fledged physical release of Final Fantasy VIII in HD. That makes me so happy. Final Fantasy VIII is up there with my top 5 Final Fantasy games. It's a little controversial. People either love it or they hate it. I happen to fall into the love it category. I am so excited. Thank you, Square. Now, I have a feeling I'm going to hate the price point, though. Because Final Fantasy X and X2 retailed at $50, so which was really high considering that the other consoles had, you know, where the PlayStation had it for about 3 years at that point, or 4 years, and it was like retailing at $20. I still bought it for the Nintendo Switch just because of the portability aspect of it, but I would hate to see them price that game like at a premium price. Like, you released Final Fantasy 7 and 9 at about $17.99 each. I really don't want this game to cost more than $30. If I'm being 100% honest, if this game is priced more than $30, you're limiting the amount of people who are going to buy a game that came out back in 1999.
Yeah.
It's an old game. It doesn't matter how pretty you make it. Like, you're going to outprice people. This game is also coming out on the PS4, not on the Xbox. This is where I said it looked like Square had to abandon the Xbox.
Xbox, yeah. They've been abandoning the Xbox for a while now, but they're kind of just like completely done with it at this point. I think, you know, it's great to see 8 get that nice visual upgrade. It does not appear it's getting the same treatment as 7 is, which was good for one reason, that it won't take forever to get 8. But also, it's mostly the same game. No real, it's visual upgrades, not worked from the ground up.
Honestly, I'm kind of hoping that some of the changes that did get made to Final Fantasy VII find their way to
somewhere in there,
like the turning off the random encounters, and the 3x speed. I would love to see those get implemented in the HD remaster. They did not get implemented in Final Fantasy X, but that's because those implementations came out after Final Fantasy X. So I'm hoping that, you know, with, you know, the hindsight of, hindsight,
this feature,
you might see, hey, these features worked really good on the Switch and I believe the PC. So let's bring them over here. And yeah, they totally need, in my opinion, that needs to happen. Those are great features that I definitely want, especially because random encounters in those old school Final Fantasy games, like just replaying 7 and 10 over the last couple months, I'm kind of random encountered out. Like, I really, I kind of need like a break from.
No, but I feel that. No.
Like, you play two major RPGs. I haven't even started X2 yet, just because it's like, I need a break.
No, I get that. Like, with Octopath Traveler, and then what other game was I playing at the time? I don't even remember, but I was playing like three RPGs without random encounters while I was playing Octopath, and I couldn't. It was so much.
Especially now that we're in an era where even Pokemon is semi getting rid of random encounters. Like, hey, we have an option where you don't have random encounters.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of weird because they showed off like in the treehouse. It's even though there's an option where you don't have random encounters, in that option you have the option to have a random encounter and vice versa. Where in the random encounter areas, there's still going to be like Pokemon you can just run into.
Well, look at Bravely Default. Bravely Default, just you can get rid of them all together. I mean, you're obviously going to be screwed later.
For leveling, yeah. That game is very grindy too, so it's like, what are you going to do if you have no way to grind? So
exactly. Yeah. All right. So yeah, that wraps up pretty much the three.
Square Enix.
Yeah.
Well, do we want to talk about Microsoft a bit? They did announce, I think, one thing for Nintendo, and then, you know,
was it the Minecraft
Minecraft Dungeons. It's like a dungeon crawler, roguelike, maybe not roguelike, but Diablo style of game looked like, with the Minecraft IP, using the visuals, the mobs that y'all know and love. So there's that.
But that pretty much is coming out on everything. It's not like
anything
that's Minecraft is kind of everywhere. It's not a whole lot of games. If we're gonna look at the games coming out from your third parties, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 with Minecraft Dungeons. So what games confirmed from third parties, based on those three press conferences alone. Obviously, Nintendo showcased a whole lot more during their Nintendo Direct. Speaking of the Nintendo Direct, you want to just go ahead and slide?
Yeah, let's just go right into the meat of Nintendo, yeah.
All
right,
so we're going to roll these two updates into one because it doesn't really make sense to split them apart. It made sense for Nintendo to do it.
One was in the beginning, one was the end, yeah.
It made sense for Nintendo to do it to, like, keep that hype level, you know, there, but from a discussion standpoint, it's let's just group them together. So,
sure.
Smash updates. Nintendo kicked the Direct off with Smash updates. We are getting the hero from Dragon Quest as DLC. That was the safe bet there, that Square would get another character in there. So now we have a Final Fantasy character and a Dragon Quest character with Cloud and now Hero. But Hero
is multiple heroes from multiple games. So we have Luminary from... Yeah, it's Luminary from the most recent 11. Yes. He's after this trailer as well. And then there's Erdrick from, I believe, the original. And two, I think he's from 8, right? And then, I don't know the other ones.
I thought it was, one of them was from, like, conspicuously the Dragon Quest manga. Could be wrong.
Well, I don't know. I know Erdrick is in the manga, but Erdrick is also, like, the main person you think of. I'm pretty sure Erdrick is in, what's that fighting game? Jump Force? I'm pretty sure Erdrick's in Jump Force, too.
Yeah.
Think about it. If it's the same guy, I don't know. Whatever. I don't know my Dragon Quest enough. I'm not seasoned in it, unfortunately.
Well, that's not even, you can't even be faulted for that, because honestly, like, NX didn't do a really great job of promoting the Dragon Quest franchise. They still don't even completely, like, localize in those games. They say that it takes too much work to do all the localization because of the dialogues in those games. And I'm like, I feel like the moment you merged with Square, that should have been a non-issue. Like, we shouldn't be worried about, like, localization. You should have full-on teams just dedicated to localization. But it is what it is. I can't really argue with them. Anyway, but yes, Hero from Dragon Quest, 4 alternate skins instead of costumes. He looked good, man. His gameplay makes him look a little OP, but until I get my hands on him, I'm not gonna make that claim. He just looked like he had a lot of like his recovery looked phenomenal. Just shooting up from like the damn near bottom of the screen. He was almost out of bounds. There's no way he got up there.
Well, I'm pretty sure there's gonna be some kind of like limit or magic system, a meter of some kind, I might imagine. Similarly to how, you know, Cloud's recovery sucks unless he has limit. Joker's recovery sucks unless he has Arsene. Robin needs to have his Elwynd tome to recover, etc. I think Erdrick, the hero, will have some kind of system like that. They did tease like something going on with the original Dragon Quest sort of interface on his percentage.
It did, so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was looking at that. I was like, I wonder what that's really all about, because that looks interesting.
That looked weird, yeah.
It was just weird, because it didn't look like a Smash interface.
It was the Dragon Quest interface to a T, just in Smash Bros. On his percentage, which was pretty weird. Like, I don't really know how they expect that to work, per se, but hopefully it does. He looks like a cool character. I don't think he looked as OP as you think. I think he looks solid. But I mean, all new characters look solid in their trailers. You know, Ridley looked super cool in his trailer. No one cares about Ridley anymore because he's not that good, which is a shame because Ridley deserves to be good. Come on, buff Ridley more, please.
No, he's got a death tail. Keep him where he is.
I mean, that's fair. That's fair. You're right. Okay.
All right. So next up, I think is the one that broke the internet. Just straight up, the internet just completely broke. We had another Donkey Kong style reveal trailer. Obviously, very similar to the King K. Rool reveal.
It starts off exactly the same,
and except for the fact that King K. Rool is part of that like lazy about section. Well,
no, like in the very first, like here's all the characters and their villains.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Yeah, but then after that, they also had an extra scene in there.
Before we get into this, mm-hmm. that opening to the reveal trailer, for Dragon Quest,
yes.
Where Link was just taking on everything,
every sword fighter.
Was that a hint for what was supposed to be shown at the end of the direct? Was all that attention on focusing on Link supposed to kind of get us in a Zelda kind of mindset? Because man, that was like 2 minutes of just Link fighting stuff.
Maybe the way I kind of saw it was like they're in on the sword fighter joke. They're in on it, and they know they're adding another sword fighter. So like, that's what it kind of seemed like to me. Like I saw sword fighters galore. I'm like, this is Erdrick. We're getting Erdrick. Like like three sword fighters with Marth, Link, and Meta. I'm like, this is sword fighters. We're getting a sword fighter. It's got to be Erdrick. Was exactly what I was thinking.
All right.
Which I want to also point this out. These were, I don't want to say lackluster for reveals, but the trailers weren't as cool as I would hope. I knew it way too early for both of these as well.
Well, I think the speculation because of these characters, it's not like these characters weren't characters that we had made assumptions about.
Yeah, sorry, did I spoil it?
No, don't even worry. I mean, the internet knows about it, but yeah. We expected these. Well, we figured one would be harder to get than the other, obviously. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
the Dragon Quest one kind of seemed like a lock just because Nintendo and Square are like sleeping in the same bed again.
Mm-hmm.
But Microsoft and Nintendo, that seems like a harder decision to make. Like that seems like a harder thing to come across. But yeah, the trailer is almost identical to the Donkey Kong, the King K. Rool reveal trailer.
Up until you see all three Diddy Kong, Donkey Kong, and K. Rool.
It's inherently a lot funnier
mm-hmm.
than the King K. Rool trailer just because Duck Hunt Dog is
the perfect, same thing.
Yeah, he's the perfect troll character. He mm-hmm. always kind of has been, going back to the original Duck Hunt game.
And they showcased that as well.
Yeah, and him laughing at you, and it just pisses you off. You just, like, that's why Smash is such a great game, because everybody has always wanted to beat the crap out of that dog for laughing at you. And Smash was like, Sakurai is like, I'm going to give the people what they've wanted for 20 years. Beat the hell out of this dog. And, he perfectly knew that this dog is a troll character and can be utilized to troll. And that whole laughing sequence, he just doesn't laugh at you in place. He laughs at you from like different angles. And then obviously Banjo and Kazooie come smashing out the ground, smack his ass away. And I'm like, oh, thank God, get rid of that dog. Hate that dog.
I mean, but the thing that just really, really gave it away was the fact that a Jiggy just bounces across. Yeah. It's just a Jiggy. And I'm like, wait, they just bounced the Jiggy across the floor. And they're expecting us to, like, wait for the reveal?
I mean, it is.
But then, like, of course, we've seen the joke with K. Rool before. We know that as soon as Duck Hunt teases Banjo, it's actually just Banjo. We know how this goes. It was because it's recycled the joke. And I think that killed the hype just because it was like, I already know. Like, this is like,
you know, I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum. I thought it was funnier the second go round.
I didn't
think it landed the first time. I was like, the first with the King K. Rool reveal, I don't think it landed. I was like, okay, I'm happy King K. Rool's here, but it didn't land the way I wanted it to. This time, like when Banjo and Kazooie start showing up, and you have Donkey Kong like with his little arms like doing that little spin motion, I was like, yeah,
no, that was cute. I liked that.
I was like, okay,
I love this Banjo.
Like that made me laugh my ass off. I was like, okay, good way. Like that is the right reveal, and it was like, welcome home. Welcome fucking back home. You have belonged here. You never should have got taken away. We're happy to have you back in some capacity. Welcome home. And that's what that reveal trailer felt like to me, was like a welcome home. And they did it in the funniest way possible. I thought that was a great reveal. Ultimately, though, Banjo's moveset looked amazing. Using Banjo, using Kazooie as like
a mallet.
Yes, and or a gun. Where he's just
pop, 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 yeah.
I thought it was amazing. Like, I was completely enamored with that reveal trailer.
His stage,
Banjo Kazooie game.
His stage looks amazing. It's like that first sort of area.
The bridge area was that. Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Yeah, the Grunty Bridge. Yeah.
And that's such a good pick. Like, I'm going to be honest, I don't really know what the Dragon Quest stage is. It looked like it had a lot of detail, a lot of fun and charm, and lots of characters. Like, you see the slime, but I don't know that one. But I know that bridge.
You know, honestly, I thought we might have been trolled by Dragon Quest. I thought maybe instead of getting, like the hero or the luminary characters, I thought maybe we'd get something like a slime as a playable character. I thought Sakurai is just odd enough to give you that instead of, you know, the actual hero of the game.
But, like, at the same time, Slime is universally much more recognizable than even Erdrick, even though Erdrick is the character we associate the series with.
Well, yeah, I mean, you think about Final Fantasy, you know, how many Cloud. People think about Chocobo or Cloud first, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if you have...
Or Moogle.
Cactuar or Moogles. Like, you start to think about, like... these weird offside characters that appear in more games than like the protagonists do. Mm-hmm. And they become like the sort of brand mascots for certain franchises. And I would say that Slime is certainly more identifiable than your traditional hero.
Yeah.
You know, insert That's hero true. Here from Dragon Quest. So, I mean, ultimately I think it was a good pick. Both characters look like they're competent fighters. How they bounce the game in order to accommodate them has always been the major issue. What gets changed so that these fighters that get included don't break the game? Banjo didn't look too OP to me. I actually thought he looked a little like weak as a character.
I feel like the trailers for I've mentioned all the trailers make the characters look busted for everyone. I feel like cartooning characters always don't look or feel as overpowered as the more realistic ones. I don't know why that is, but even so, sometimes you have the case where the cartooning character is more powerful.
Speaking of that, how do you feel about Banjo's redesign with like the
It's closer to Nuts and Bolts, right?
No, well, Nuts and Bolts were blocky. They were blocky on purpose. Like they went with that as an art direction. This one, it was kind of like a mix between like Nuts and Bolts and like some of the high
replay.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm a fan of like Banjo looking like he's 12.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the redesign. I'm gonna be honest.
Like you know, like when they do flashbacks in a cartoon, they give the characters big, wide eyes. They're just bright and happy. And
yeah,
I really wasn't feeling that. And I was like, okay, I'm really happy you're back in this game, but you don't look like Banjo to me. Everybody, ladies and gentlemen, welcome Jaden. to today's show. He finally hopped in.
And, yeah, sorry about that, guys.
No, it's all good. We're just now starting the direct portion of the conversation.
Good stuff.
So, yeah, thoughts on Hero and Banjo?
Oh, well, you know me. I'm a huge Dragon Quest fan, so I was stoked that they announced that we got any representation from Dragon Quest. Honestly, Dragon Quest is such an underrated series. It's criminally underrated because, in my opinion, it's better than Final Fantasy. It's their strongest. Square Enix is strongest franchise, in my opinion. In terms of quality, that is, gameplay-wise. Anyway, that's a bit of a diversion topic. But cool. I'm super stoked about the Hero.
I kind of want to talk about what you're saying with the Hero being underrated here, because I find it really interesting how the two different spectrums of both these characters were. We have, so yes, Dragon Quest is an underrated series here in the West, but it is huge in Japan. It is, I think, one of the biggest series, if not just the biggest video game series other than maybe Pokemon in Japan, something along those lines. But then you look at, you know, Banjo-Kazooie. Banjo-Kazooie is a very Western game. It didn't really take off as hot in Japan. It's made by a Western studio. It's this E3, we got something to appease, you know, the fan who's like, oh, I live in America. I don't know who Dragon Quest is. Like, what is this game? And vice versa. I live in America. I grew up with Banjo. Awesome. And
right.
Also, make note that Banjo and Kazooie are the first characters to be in Smash that aren't developed by a Japanese creator or developer. They are the first non-Eastern developed characters to ever appear in Smash Brothers.
From a series that is existed. Yes. So Dark Samus was made by Retro Studios.
Okay. Yeah.
American. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that, I mean, obviously she comes from a Japanese franchise.
Exactly. The franchise is Japanese. So that's where they're different. The character, no. From a franchise, yes.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And, you know, that's even interesting side tangent is who knows how much control the West had in developing her, right? Like, with Nintendo traditionally liking to have a lot of control over the direction of their IPs, it's entirely possible that it was a joint job, right? So that's an interesting side note. But well, now that you mentioned it,
that Nintendo had a dark character foil for their protagonist, like obviously
Dark Link,
Shadow Link, and Dark Link.
Right. So that's actually like super common within. It's a trope in Japanese entertainment culture.
Oh well, that too.
But I mean. So it is interesting to see, you know, a completely Western franchise represented. It really opens up the floodgates for more. Obviously, we're with the reveal of Banjo and Kazooie, we have two DLC characters left.
Yeah, and one thing I want to talk about also with the fact that Banjo is, he does not have a new game coming out, at least to our knowledge. Banjo is his last game was Nuts and Bolts on the 360. He got like a Rare Replay collection, whatever. And his big time to shine was back on the N64 era. And so this also opens the floodgates for characters who aren't relevant anymore. And so, Geno fans, rise up. Your time could be to shine soon. Yeah, we have a Square Enix rep already, but we already have like three Capcom reps. Like, it's don't worry about it. Reps mean nothing. Just. That's character's funny. A character at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, although, to be fair, like there were rumors floating about that we're going to see a Banjo-Kazooie remaster on the Switch. Supposedly it's a German site had a retail listing for it after E3 or something along those lines. That was the latest rumors floating about. That's still a big thing, though. Like that, one of the things that people are understating, maybe not people. I've heard some people say that Banjo-Kazooie was an expected choice. And I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about. Because Banjo-Kazooie has been a super strong IP that Microsoft has really held tight to. So the fact that they give it to Smash Brothers, it's kind of a shock. The fact that there's a good chance now that it's opening the floodgates for a Banjo-Kazooie remake on the Switch, that's huge too. You know what I mean? So I honestly think this is much more unexpected than some of the fan base is really saying.
Hey, before we go on any further, I want to just talk about a breaking story real quick. Nintendo Everything is reporting that the E3 Nintendo Direct was actually shown to members of the media early.
Mm-hmm.
They had actually cut out the Breath of the Wild 2 segment.
Oh.
Even media didn't know about that specific reveal.
Wow. I mean, that's a good surprise for everyone, though, honestly.
Yeah, it was great. I was pretty shocked by that, if I'm being honest.
I knew it was kind of always possible. I didn't expect it this soon, but I'm really glad to see that it's happening, because they spent so long on this engine and the assets that, they have to reuse.
We got a whole lot to get to. I want to really dive.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
It's easy to do with E3.
Yeah, I know. E3 makes you, it does things.
Talk about everything, yeah. All
right, so after we got the, any final thoughts on Banjo-Kazooie Hero from Dragon Quest, or have we kind of run that one into the ground?
No.
I don't know. I'm still hoping this paves the way for Shantae as one of the final two DLCs. Who knows? Now that you mentioned that it is one of the few Western characters there, that's a good point.
Shovel Knight really deserves a spot, man. He doesn't.
Yeah, Shovel Knight or Hollow Knight would be pretty sick too.
Hollow Knight would work.
And the other thing too is back on the Dragon Quest, small slight tangent. Don't know if this was announced in E3 or shortly before, but there is a dope ass giant slime controller that looks stupid, absurd, and impractical and ridiculous, and I want it.
That just got revealed today, and I think this is the second.
Is what you were saying? They made a PS4 one, correct?
Yeah, they made. This is the second time they've made a giant slime controller. This is the first time for Nintendo Switch. I'm really tempted to get that slime controller.
Awesome. Because one, we have a couple Dragon Quest games now, but with 11 on the horizon, I think. Isn't there one more? Well, it's Japan only. It's like not Warriors, but it looks like a Warriors Dragon Quest. And then you can also probably use that for Smash, I'd assume.
With a controller that big, it better work for other games.
Oh, yeah. I'd hope. I don't want another Pokeball Plus.
Oh, we'll get to that. Oh. We'll get to that Pokeball Plus in a minute. All right. Oh, looks like we have a issue.
Technical difficulties here. Just give us a hot minute, guys.
That's what happens when we do live shows. All right. While he is getting set up, let's talk about their next reveal. They did talk a little bit about actual Dragon Quest XI. Not a whole lot there. Just kind of reaffirming that we are getting the Switch. They did showcase that it's going to have two modes of play. The fully realized CG gameplay style that we've pretty much all grown accustomed to since the, PS2 era. But we also have the...
Sorry about that, guys.
No worries. We also have the whatchamacallit?
The 8-bit style returns, yeah.
Yes.
The original NES, Super NES.
Yes, which actually looks really, really clean in HD. I really love it when games go the extra mile and showcase just some traditional 16, 8-bit graphics. I love that, man. I mean, to see that done in Dragon Quest and know that the full game is playable in that style. Man, if you're a nostalgia fan, that's really going to tickle your funny bone.
Yeah, I was pretty stoked about that. And one of the curious things, which I don't know if anyone's going to test this out. I don't even know if anyone's really thought about this. But I'm curious if 16-bit will be a less of a powertrain than full 3D. Because that might make a difference on long plane rides or something. You know what I mean?
No, I can see that.
Digital Foundry, I know you guys don't watch us, but if you happen to be scrolling through YouTube, you hear about this, yo, Digital Foundry, hook us up with some
results.
Get us some frame rate results for both styles of games. Get us some battery life quality between both games. Digital Foundry, you guys kick ass at that kind of shit. Get on.
Yo,
Digital Foundry is like low-key my favorite YouTube channel.
They've got some good content.
They put out good stuff. It's really cool to see just how much they've really packed into the Switch version, because I believe you're getting these 8-bit versions that aren't present in the previous version. You're getting, different soundtracks, new mounts. You can visit previous worlds from Final Fantasy, Dragon Quest games. gosh.
Well, they're almost one and the same now.
I mean, they're like squares too big RPGs, and
right.
They're just similar. I don't know. But
Dragon Quest, I'd say, is like their only true RPG left. Final Fantasy seems to be the series what they make look really pretty, and they experiment on the gameplay style, and typically ends up being less than stellar.
That makes sense.
I kind of want from the Dragon Quest series, and I know this is probably never going to happen, but I kind of want the Dragon Quest series to kind of move away from the Akira Toriyama art direction. Like,
yeah, I know what you
mean. It's been a long time, and Akira Toriyama's focus is really on Dragon Ball, so the fact that you keep hiring people to emulate his style, it has actually kind of pigeonholed the art, and the game hasn't gotten much better graphically because they keep playing in that art style.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I don't know if I agree, though. Like, part of what makes Dragon Quest so iconic is the style, you know what I mean? And so, it's such a huge gamble if they were to move away from that.
I think they could get away with it, man. I think if you gave it some Final Fantasy, give them some Final Fantasy visuals, or at least take that Akira Toriyama art style into, like, that high fidelity that you give towards the Final Fantasy franchise.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Give it like the ultra 4K ultra texture treatment.
Bring it up, because you're kind of like,
yeah,
keeping it in the cartoony art style. Like I love it. But it's also becoming dated. And the only game I want to see in that art style is Chrono Trigger. Bring it back.
What if they take the Dragon Ball art style and they just give all the characters lots of belts and lots of chains to make it like Final Fantasy?
Oh, no, you know what? Keep Nomura away from everything. Like, I'm barely okay with Nomura being in charge of Final Fantasy VII Remake. I'm barely okay with it. Like, Nomura... I don't dislike Nomura, man. He has his ups, but man, his downs... When he has a down, man, I get really terrified. We end up with game.
What do you mean?
Final Fantasy 13 versus turning into 15, turning into, hey, I'm not even working on this game anymore.
Oh, that's what you're talking
about. Final Fantasy 12. Hey, I'm working on Final Fantasy 12. No, you're not.
Worked on a game called The Bouncer. The Bouncer wasn't too hot.
Dude, The Bouncer is a cult classic. You shut your mouth.
I mean, it is, but also it's cult.
Okay, so I'm on the fence with The Bouncer because, like it's like a, how do we call it? It's a guilty pleasure. The Bouncer
is
a guilty pleasure.
It is, yeah.
You don't play that game with the lights on. You don't play that game with the lights on.
No.
You know, it's funny because The Bouncer is such like a product of its time. And when you look at it, it's clear foreshadowing of where Nomura was going to take his character designs for like the next decade. All the fucking zippers and chains, and I'm just like, Christ, like, it's funny because that persisted throughout Kingdom Hearts and some of the Final Fantasies. It's The Bouncer, that's a great series. Bring that IP back. That's what I want to see next. Bouncer HD remastered on the Switch.
Make it happen.
I'm gonna let you have that one. I don't know, I don't really have thoughts. Okay.
Right. Moving on.
How did we get here? I don't remember how we got here.
Dragon Quest. Dragon Quest art style needed to be changed, and I recommended that Nomura fuse his art style with this.
Get out. Oh,
I don't have words.
I know. Yeah, that was a joke to be like disgusting, but I mean, it really snowballed. It really did snowball.
You went too far, man. You definitely went too far.
Okay, so
now I'm just imagining like Akira Toriyama characters with a bunch of belts and chains and shit, and that's terrifying.
Okay, so next up.
So clearly, that's too much change for you, nice one. Too much change.
So Bowser and Doug Bowser got confused after this, and Bowser had to walk off the stage. And Doug Bowser, the new president of Nintendo America, introduced one of his favorite games that he is getting a new installment. This E3 shown. I don't know where I'm going with this. Luigi's Mansion 3.
Yes.
All right. Wait, can we pause real quick before we go to Luigi's Mansion 3 and mention how cute that was? This was Doug Bowser's, I guess, first real kind of
memeable
appearance.
His first appearance, because he had a slight appearance when they were doing the transition. Mm-hmm. But this is kind of his
introduction, formal introduction. Yeah.
Right. And so, I think that's really. I think it was a great introduction. Super cute.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Bowser with the little tie. He was so ready for it.
All right.
No, I agree. It was nice to see Doug Bowser really kind of step into the spotlight. Pretty much because, like, we all know Reggie leaving these big shoes to fill.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, and you know, that's one of the things I was so impressed by, was how comfortable he looked there.
Agreed. No, and he showed up during the treehouse section as well, and during the treehouse, he was, you could see he was a little nervous, you know, first time on camera, but, like, I don't necessarily think he was, like, out of place. Like, I explained to my girl, like, hey, that's the new Reggie. And she's like, that's the new Reggie? It's like, yeah, that's your new Reggie, so be prepared to see him for years to come. Hopefully.
I agree. Like, he didn't look, you know, I feel like the first time I saw Reggie, he just sort of oozed with confidence and made a lot of jokes.
I disagree. If you go back and you listen to that, my name is Reggie, we're here to kick ass and
take names.
Listen to his delivery of that. It's a little.
It's like a stutter, yeah.
A little stiff. Like, he's like, I don't really want to say this, but they're making me say it. Somebody wrote this, I have to say it.
All right. I do vaguely remember that. Yeah, it was a bit. Okay. He did start off a bit awkward, but I thought that was charming in terms of Reggie's.
Yeah. I don't know. But I feel like the first time I saw Reggie was much more. He looked more comfortable than Doug Bowser did. But Doug Bowser didn't look uncomfortable. He looked good. He didn't say a whole lot. He didn't, like, start off with a big introduction, like, I'm here to take names, make games, and kick ass, or whatever it was. But. It's good. He's gonna be good. But then they show Luigi's Mansion. Let's get back on topic here. Luigi's Mansion, guys. Right.
With Luigi's Mansion, we got to see a few things. We got the introduction of Gooigi, mm-hmm. the skyscraper mode, which has
skyscraper
and skyscraper. Why did I say skyscraper? The skyscraper has local and online multiplayer with up to 8 players. It is. Kind of
More players than when it had in the 3DS when it was there.
Yes. So definitely looks like a lot of fun. This morning they did confirm that the game would in fact use the Nintendo Switch Online app to support voice control.
Yes.
So you can in fact communicate with people as you play the online horde mode, whether or not you want to partake in using the Nintendo Switch's online app is up to you. But personally, I think it's cool that they even thought about it, like having some level of coordination. The game looks fantastic. The Treehouse Live section really highlighted how awesome this game is really going to be.
Yeah, I was really impressed by the multiplayer stuff that they showed off. That 8 players looks like a whole hell of a lot of chaotic fun. And I'm excited. I didn't think I would be as excited, but I really am. This is big. The fact that they even showed Mario and crew at the very beginning surprised me. I'm kind of curious to see if we're going to see Mario as like a secret unlockable playable character or something along those lines, you know?
But yeah, Luigi's Mansion 3 is looking very promising. I'm not normally a fan of Luigi's Mansion, but this is the most excited I've been for a Luigi's Mansion game in a while. So, yeah.
Yeah, I feel you there. Luigi's Mansion, it has, to me, always been kind of... It's a series that I have fond memories of, but I've not been hyped about an installment for a long time. And I'm feeling some hype here. I'll be honest. I'm definitely feeling some hype.
You know, honestly, when I think about Luigi's Mansion, I have really good memories about the... GameCube iteration. So it was such a charming game, especially since it was the first time Luigi got like his like first
spotlight.
His spotlight.
Right. Yeah.
He did such a good job with it. And I did enjoy Dark Moon, but it wasn't like I was super amped or like really anticipating that particular version of the game. But I did love it. It was just not a game that I would have like, it's not a game that I could really recommend anybody to
play.
But this time out, it looks like it's going to be a far superior title to the 3DS. Obviously, you have your co-op modes. The game looks much bigger than the previous two games. It looks like you could combine both of those original games and it'd still be a little bit smaller than what we're working with here. The Treehouse Live did a fantastic job of showcasing this one section of the game where Luigi was walking through like a movie studio portion of it, and I thought that looked really good. The game really did present itself really well in the direct itself. The new moves that Luigi has, like the slams,
suction blast, and
plunger,
and then like the shockwave move.
Those are pretty funny, honestly. Yeah. Like, I was a bit surprised,
but I think they're really good additions. Because like one of my big issues with Luigi's Mansion as to why I don't enjoy it as much is the how you capture the ghosts. It's all same old, same old. You know, there's a couple ghosts that. Mix things up here and there, but there's nothing really significant. But this looks like it has a lot more possibility to shake things up. We're already seeing, ghosts with shields and things after suction off, which is pretty cool.
Right. I see what you're saying. It's the the variation of, I guess, combat, for lack of a better
term. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
I see what you're saying there. Yeah. And I think I think there's a fair point to that, yeah. Yeah.
One thing I don't necessarily like, it looks like you can sort of spam the slam move for just massive damage constantly. I don't like that as much, but I don't make the games, I just play them. So
actually,
I'm sure it'll be fun.
I really like seeing watching the one ghost get slammed into another ghost. I
think that was pretty funny. Nice,
but the ability to just spam that constantly seems a bit much, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love people to do that like once per ghost, but
yeah. I don't know. I'm a big fan of like pro wrestling, so to me, it took me back to the days of the Attitude Era, where you're just seeing random crap like that. So I now have this headcanon where Luigi is a pro wrestler on the side. Please do that, Nintendo. I would love you for a long time.
Yo, is E-Gad is Doc Lewis?
Yeah, that'd be pretty good. That'd be good.
That would be nice. Yeah, make it happen, please.
What I really liked was the addition of Gooigi. I thought Gooigi looked freaking fantastic. It's like Slimer as Luigi, and he's got like some cool abilities where like he can like walk through spikes, whereas like Luigi simply just can't, because if he tries to, he'll die.
You get impaled, yeah, as spikes do with mortal beings.
Yeah, nothing. Something about having a meat bag of a body.
But it's also cool because like Gooigi isn't all invincible or anything. He has his own weaknesses like water, and I guess they're both weak to fire, because Luigi's not weak to Gooigi is not immune to fire, but they
not
both
that
are
it's been confirmed yet. I mean,
on Treehouse they confirmed that Gooigi is weak to fire, and in the trailer and in the Treehouse they confirmed that
I missed
Gooigi
that in the
is
trailer then. My bad.
To water.
Yeah. No, I mean, so what I'm curious about in terms of Gooigi specifically is the lore stuff behind that. So that's what I'm really curious to see, what they're going to explain as to how you get this semi-sentient slime thing. That's going to be curious.
What I kind of think, it's an E-Gad gadget where he's taken ectoplasm. This is all my speculation, headcanon, whatever. E-Gad makes this ectoplasm that is mind-linked to Luigi, and thus can sort of... Luigi just thinks about controlling Gooigi, and he controls Gooigi. Gooigi hence takes Luigi's form, the one who's controlling it, and Luigi just goes unconscious. He's in a coma until he decides to be himself again.
That would make sense.
If you look at the animations, like... when you swap, like Luigi's just out of it. He's asleep. Yeah. And then same thing for Gooigi once you switch back and you haven't recalled him yet. Or them. I guess it's genderless, right? Gooigi?
I don't know. I mean, you can have slime monster girls, so I just don't assume.
That's fair.
In any case though, You brought up a good segue. Oh, maybe it's a good segue point. But the animations of Luigi, they're really fantastic.
Mm-hmm. That's where the series is always shown, I feel.
Yeah, and I felt like they took it another notch up this time around.
Mm-hmm. Well, they had to.
Well, yeah.
It's his big home console. Like, we have the power to do this. Do it, you know?
Right.
True that. All right, but I think we should move on from Luigi's Mansion just because, as much as I'm really anticipating this game, we'll be here forever. We could literally show on Luigi's Mansion just because I think they did such a...
No release date was mentioned.
No!
And there's nothing slated for October, pretty much, in general. So, I mean, like, what are you doing? That's the last thing I want to talk about, but, like,
The only thing I'm assumption I can make about that is they're trying to piss me off.
Right.
Nice one wants this game, he's not gonna have it. They're gonna make a prediction.
Okay.
October 3rd of this year, they're gonna be dicks and put it out on my birthday so that anybody who doesn't get me that as a birthday present, you're an asshole.
Yeah, right.
What if they just stealth drop this on Halloween? I know. How can they stealth drop Luigi's Mansion?
You can't shadow drop a Luigi's Mansion game. You gotta give Luigi. That would be the ultimate diss to Luigi. We don't like you as much as Mario.
They gave Luigi his whole year. When's the year of Luigi 2? Come on.
What was that like back in like 2000?
2013.
Oh, God.
That was a long time ago.
6 years, yeah.
All right. So, next up, we had a game that I was completely taken aback by. Crystal Tactics Age of Resistance. For those who haven't seen The Dark Crystal, it is the quintessential Jim Henson movie. Not Labyrinth. Labyrinth is good, but The Dark Crystal is the quintessential Jim Henson film. It is a film.
Labyrinth and Dark Crystal are connected, though, right?
In some way, I think they take place in the same universe, but they're not inherently, the characters don't cross over. If I'm not mistaken, it's been a few years since I've seen Labyrinth. I mean, obviously, I get all creeped out by David Bowie in that movie.
Yeah, I've seen Labyrinth, this past summer is when I last saw Labyrinth, so about a year ago.
What's tripping out, though, is, the Netflix branding.
Yeah.
So did they buy the rights to that franchise?
I don't know, but we did hear that Netflix was planning to make games, and we also have seen, Stranger Things 3, the game.
Right.
So it's – to see Dark Crystal was very, very odd. And it's also even more odd to see in Nintendo's Direct of all things.
But yeah. I'm more about the style of game, it being a Fire Emblem RPG.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that because it looked less Fire Emblem-y and more Final Fantasy Tactic-y.
Oh. Okay.
Well, I could see the argument for both games. I could totally see it being, you could confuse the style for either one of those games. They're very similar.
That's a grid-based tactical RPG.
It was very cool to see it, though. From what I could see of that gameplay, I was like, mm-hmm. I oddly want this game. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense as to why, because I'm not the biggest fan of tactical RPGs, but I think maybe it was the aesthetics, and maybe because I love Muppets. You can say what you want, but the Muppets are the shit.
They are.
So I love Muppets, and I think they work fantastically in a lot of scenarios that you wouldn't think they would, but they really worked well in this high fantasy storyline that the Dark Crystal presented. So really caught me by surprise, and I was really happy to see it.
Yeah, but I think you really touched on something there, and that's also the reason why I'm pretty stoked for this game. It's the world building. Dark Crystal has a world setting that, even though it's kind of dark fantasy, it still feels unique in that it's not like a Tolkien clone, or it's not a Warhammer clone, or not anything else. It really feels like its own thing. And at least my impression from the trailer was that this game is going to do a good job of placing you in that setting, right? I don't know. It could just be my impression. But I'm stoked for it for that reason.
One thing that I think would be cool to see is to explore this wider world of The Dark Crystal and Labyrinth, because, you know, for the sake of those two movies, you didn't necessarily have to go too far into the other parts of this world, but there could be other parts, other lore, other things that could just be built upon here, though, too, for the wider world of it.
Right, and that's a good point, too, because from what I remember of both movies, there was a lot of implications and allusions to other things happening mm-hmm. in the world that they just don't explain. And I'm like,
they're not important to the current plot at hand, though, so they don't necessarily need to. It's just for the world building of these movies. And I, like I said, I'd love to see that be explored a bit more. But also, you know, how true to the movie, let's say, will this be as well? You know, what even is this? What's the plot gonna be compared to The Dark Crystal, you know? So, yeah.
Right. And I'm stoked. I really hope this takes off big and leads to a series of video games based off of the IP, because I would love to see a Dark Crystal game along mm-hmm. the veins of the Dragon Age kind of stuff.
Okay, I can see that. Now, what if we even got expanded Netflix series to sort of tie in, since Netflix is working on this? Jim Henson, you know, famous for you know, his films, not as much as video games. What do you think of maybe that being a thing? Jim Henson worked with Netflix to make a series of TV and or movie with this.
Honestly, I'm kind of concerned about the legacy of the Dark Crystal as a whole. Like, some things don't need to be sequelized. And
that's fair.
Especially when they end in a definitive fashion. I don't necessarily think that you need to expand upon or world build. Unless this takes place beforehand. Like, I didn't get that impression, but if this is a prequel to the movie, I could totally see that, because when you start The Dark Crystal, stuff has happened in that universe already. You're privy to some of it via the backstory, but you don't see what all went down. If this game explored like the beginnings of and lead into where the movie begins, that's a different story. I can deal with that, but anything that takes place after that movie, I'm not really down with, because I think when a movie ends definitively, you don't necessarily need to expand upon it that much. You don't need the sequels. Prequels are something I can tolerate a little bit more, though.
I'm that's how I feel about the Star Wars, 100%. Like, they did with the definitive ending of, you know, episode, I guess they ended with 3.
Return of the Jedi, you mean?
The definitive ending of the main saga was definitive to what we needed. And then, you know, we got, I guess, the Clone Wars, which was a prequel, and that was cool. And they've added, I guess, now 3 new movies that will be coming, which is, there are 3 new movies. I haven't cared for them, and it adds on to a definitive end that was good.
That wasn't necessary.
It was perfect the way it was. Yeah, it was perfect the way it was. It didn't need to be added on. But I feel like it's been a while since I've seen
Star Wars. If you had expanded on, like, rebuilding the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I think they're taking it the wrong direction with Star Wars.
They went in the direction where, like, Luke is still the last Jedi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think they went far enough into the future. And I think that's something that that we're all touching on, is how you handle sequels properly. Mm-hmm. And if you go far enough in the future that the characters in the older installments are just kind of myths and legends, it works. I think, because then you can see the legacy and the fact of legacies and all that sort of stuff. And I think that's an interesting point from a fan perspective to go into.
And that also gives the creators more creative freedom as well. You can see the legacy, but it's still an entirely new story that doesn't need to be continued or meddled with like it was with that. And I'm kind of hoping that with this Dark Crystal game, it isn't really that close to the movie if it is, you know, an original story. I'm hoping it's just kind of its own entity, almost, with maybe 2 characters returning. So we have seen, I forget his name, but he was, like, in the trailer. And he, like, poofed into the game, but...
Right.
I forget his name. I'm not good with Muppet names.
It's been a while since I've seen the Dark Crystal, so I really can't recall their names off the top.
I gotta go watch this now, because I don't actually recall the ending being as definitive as you remember it, as you make it out to be, so I have to go rewatch it.
Fairly certain it's a happy ending, so.
Alright.
In
any case, though.
Let's move on, because Jaden used the word that I want to transition with. He said legend. So while we're on the topic of legends, let's talk about The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening, because that was the next game that they dropped on us. This game, the more I see it, the more I appreciate its visual stylings.
I am so hyped.
Like, I know, you know what, you know, okay. Somebody put something on Twitter that absolutely made me laugh. And it was a side-by-side picture of Link from The Wind Waker and a picture of Link from this Link's Awakening remake. And it said, 2002, Link's too cute. 2019, Link's too cute. And that's what we are right now. People see the Link in Link's Awakening and they fall in love with how adorable he actually looks in this game. He's all stubby. And he's got that cute little smile when he catches the fish, and they love that. Mm-hmm. And it's just a weird dichotomy to see, like, where gamers have come in the last 17 years, where we could go back and look at the Wind Waker and think that the Wind Waker
was hated on.
Yes, it did. Like, nobody liked the Wind Waker based on its visual appeal. Now, as time has gone on, people have grown to love the Wind Waker, and the art style has gone. People love the art style because it stood the test of time, because of the art direction that they went with that game. Means that when they started doing like HD versions and porting it to different systems, there was no degradation of video quality. So in hindsight, the Wind Waker looks fantastic, especially when you compare it to games like Ocarina and Twilight Princess. Like, those games visually have to get, well, Ocarina had to get a complete overhaul, a remake, to make it stand out on newer hardware. And
Twilight, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
And Twilight Princess had to get up-resed into HD. And it's still, even with that HD up-resing on the
way, it falters.
Yeah, it doesn't look that great. Like,
it let's push it even further, right? Like, let's compare Link's Awakening, Wind Waker to some of the new titles, like, I don't know, Mortal Kombat 11. Like, some of those faces and what, I don't know, man. Maybe it's a personal preference, a personal bias, but I think some of the newer engines that they're using for stuff like Mortal Kombat 11 make it look like crap. And comparatively, I think Wind Waker has a style that will prove the test of time. Mortal Kombat 11, in 10 years, I think people are just going to shit on it and be like, what is this?
Yeah, but as far as the Link's Awakening is concerned, they didn't show off too much. But that trailer that they did showcase did show off a new section of the game, a new element, a new component. And that's the dungeon builder, where you build the dungeon, and then you can, after they are built, you can basically go on a dungeon crawl and basically hunt for special items that are in the game. And that element is really neat, where you have like your builder element, which has become really popular because of, you know, Mario Maker, Dragon Quest, builders, Minecraft. You have this, like, it's a much more pared down builder element, but what it does, it greatly expands the game in that sense. And that looks like a whole lot of fun. Now, I hope in the future, I don't know if they said this in the treehouse, whether or not you could take those things that you build and share them with your friends, like via Nintendo Switch Online. But all that was really cool. It looks like, for me, it looks like a way to expand the game once you've beaten it, because we all know that Link's Awakening, because it is a Game Boy game, it's the remake of a Game Boy game, it's not a very long Zelda experience, but it's a good one.
I disagree with the length, in that those puzzles are hard. True. For people going in for first Zelda puzzle-y sort of things, They might have a tough time of it.
And one thing I actually want to mention is that this probably will be a lot of people's first Zelda in this kind of style, too. A lot of the newcomers who got into the series with Breath of the Wild. And I think, So I wonder if they'll have some kind of hint system in there. As for the puzzle difficulty, I think, it had some difficult puzzles. I don't know if puzzle difficulty really extends the life of, or the playtime per se. It does to an extent, but I'm not sure how much it really would beef it up, but oh well.
If you're really bad, it can completely change the,
how long. Yeah. I mean, I remember spending half an hour on one room sometimes when I was a kid. So yeah. It just depends on how familiar you are with puzzles, if you're particularly good at them innately or mm-hmm. not, and then getting a feel for how the system works as well.
Go ahead. Yeah, the dungeon creator looks really good. I kind of would have liked to see something else, because it'll beef up the playtime, but I don't know if it'll do that much for me personally. I think that's a really cool system idea. I don't know if I'll spend too much time with it, especially if the sharing features are limited or if the rewards just aren't worth, like, it's just extra rupees in a milk bottle, or fairy bottle, rather. Like, and that's all you get. And it's like, it's not worth it.
Well, they also confirmed the color dungeon from Awakening DX mm-hmm. feedback. Nintendo themselves admitted that that's going to be less important in this era, because obviously the color dungeon made a lot more
everywhere.
Game Boy Color, whereas we've had full color games for years now on portable consoles and home consoles, but that function is still there.
Just to put us out there, Nice One and I are old enough to remember when color was invented on handheld consoles. Just saying, it's a weird feeling.
Oh yeah, the Game Gear comes out full color. The TurboGrafx 16, the handheld version. I can't remember. But yeah, they also showcased the world's cutest amiibo with this game.
Detective Pikachu.
No, the the Link's Awakening amiibo is 100% my new favorite Link amiibo, and I don't even have it in my collection yet. It's going to be this guy, the 8-bit Link, that they did for the 30th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
That amiibo looks cute, and it's probably the most in-game accurate amiibo they've ever released.
I think they even mentioned that word for word on the treehouse, yeah.
Yeah, and I thought the Splatoon amiibos were fantastic. Like, those mm-hmm. were the closest. Not anymore. Not anymore. The Link amiibo from Link's Awakening is perfect, and they did say that it's going to have some exclusive functionality. It's going to do going to add a shadow link to your created dungeons. So if you create a dungeon, you can drop an evil little bastard shadow link to screw with people.
Oh, good.
It's awesome. All the other Legend of Zelda amiibos will function with this game. That includes Ganon, your Smash amiibos, your Legendary Champion amiibos, etc., etc. All the Zelda amiibos should work just fine. All right.
Yeah. I got to say one more thing about the amiibo. First of all, or two more things. First of all, it's glossy as hell, which is nice. I wouldn't. Yeah, I thought I hated it at first, but then I'm like, oh no, this actually really works. I really like this. And the other thing is, I'm a little bit disappointed that they didn't have what's her face as the Malin? No, Malin is Marin.
Yeah,
yeah. Marin. Yeah, I wanted the girl a Marin who wakes amiibo. You up. Yeah, I really wanted a Marin amiibo.
You never know. Still early. We don't know yet.
Yeah,
it's still time.
But will the delicious amiibo work?
The what?
The cereal box amiibo. The delicious amiibo. The cereal box.
I think they just confirmed the Legend of Zelda amiibos. So.
But could I... What if they give us a Zelda cereal with a delicious Zelda amiibo? Will that work?
We've had a Zelda cereal before. I don't think we want to go back to that era.
Yes, we do.
No, I don't want that cereal. That nasty-ass marshmallow
garbage. But you're the one who was like a year ago saying, I love this Nintendo that's willing to do cereals again. I love that Nintendo's making
as long as they stop hypocrite. Marshmallow cereals.
No,
but kids
no,
love
see,
marshmallows.
I not disagree with you. Nice one. If we had to suffer with this as a kid, the new generation has to suffer with it too. That's just fair. What comes around or goes around, whatever, you know.
Well, speaking of, let's transition, because speaking of games that came out when we were kids... We got a shadow drop. Trials of Mana. So that's Final Fantasy Adventure, Secret of Mana, and I forget the last Mana
game. Trials. This is Trials. So it goes Final Fantasy Adventure, Secret of Mana, then Trials of Mana. Yes. Which the big one, the third one, Trials of Mana, never released before now in the West.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, what's crazy about this was a launch title
for Super NES, right?
No.
Oh.
The Nintendo Switch, Trials of Mana, was released in Japan. Launch year.
Oh, in Japan. Okay.
It was like the Mana Collection or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Collection of Mana. Yeah.
I think that's what it was.
That's what it is here, at least. Yeah.
So we're getting this game 2 years later, but they did say that there are going to be specifics for the localization during today's Treehouse. They showcased this game, and they said there were going to be specific things for the localization to look forward to. Couldn't tell you whether or not what they added, but really happy. These are underrated games. This was Square doing their damn best to try to revolutionize RPGs in the West, because up until this point, they'd only had moderate success with the Final Fantasy franchise on the NES in the West. So they made a more pared-down RPG, which would become a Final Fantasy Adventure, thinking that it would kick them off in the right way. It didn't. It took them years to really take off in the West. It wasn't until like Super Mario RPG that Square really gained notoriety in the West. But once that happened, look at the bullet storm that took off after that, because you had Super Mario RPG, Final Fantasy VII, Final Fantasy VIII, IX, and X, and then Square was forever written in the annals of video game history.
You also have the bouncer.
No, not the bouncer.
You caught me. That one.
So this
bouncer took off in the West. You gotta admit, in the West, it was just...
So what's nice about this collection is a shadow drop. You know, you gotta love it when you get like a nice little shadow drop of a game. Now the price point is, I would say it's a fair price point. $40, 3 games. Can't really go wrong. If you haven't played any of these games, you really should. The only thing kind of keeping me away from this is that The Secret of Mana was released on the Super NES Classic Edition, and I don't necessarily want to buy this because it has a game that I can play, you know, on a preferred console. Like, not that I wouldn't want to play it on the Switch. It's just that something about playing a game with a Super NES controller on my Super NES Classic Edition seems more appealing to me. But that's just that's really kind of an aesthetic appeal.
Now, let me ask you something then. So, if it came to playing the third game, Trials of Mana, would you prefer to, you know, play The Secret of Mana on your Super NES and instead of get the Collection of Mana, hold out for that 3D remaster, remake, whatever it is, of the Trials of Mana that is coming later as well?
I don't necessarily know if I need, you know, an up-res version, HD version.
Well, it's completely just it's a different game. It's the same game, but they showed it at Treehouse.
I don't know, it looks very different. I don't know if I need the overhaul, but, you know, it's definitely going to make a difference in the purchases I make. Yeah, I'll probably play the newer version just for to see if visually it can really represent what they're trying to tell with that story. I mean, that was a
so far, it looks like it will.
That was a fantastic story that was limited by, or Final Fantasy games as a whole have always been, or most RPGs, let me restart. RPGs have been limited by their visuals for decades, especially in those early years. Like, you'd have these really epic stories that visually could not be represented by the game. We are finally in an era where visuals can really tell the story that developers want to tell. And I think Trials of Mana will look and feel fantastic. And I think you're finally going to get that story across with the intent that the directors have. Like, director intent is a thing. Like, how many times have we heard video game developers talk about, I was limited by the technology at my disposal? That's not just exclusive to video games. That's limited to film. Directors say, the technology of my time didn't match the vision that I had. There's a movie called Dune that perfectly encapsulates that.
Dune?
Dune.
The one with the sand people.
No, with John Travolta. It's basically a Scientology movie. It's this cheesy asshole movie. Anyway, not important. Witcher 3. Witcher 3 Complete Edition.
Right.
We got bad news about this game today.
Oh, I have not heard this one.
540p undocked and 720p docked.
Resolution isn't everything. It's unfortunate to hear, but oh well. It's an underpowered system. What do you really expect, I suppose?
Breath of the Wild is 3 times bigger than this game.
Yeah. Go on.
Now, there's also not as much going on.
Yeah.
But this seems like lazy development from CD Projekt Red. It's like, this is like, we're going to port this and we're not going to put too much care or effort into this port. I'm not a fan of the Witcher franchise as it is, but this is bad news in my opinion. This is like, hey, let's give people a game that they might actually really enjoy. Let's make it ugly as shit.
First of all, back up. Witcher 3 also was a PS3 title and Xbox 360 title, right?
I don't think Witcher 3 was. I think Witcher 2 definitely was, though.
Witcher 3 is a PS4 game.
But yeah, okay, so never mind.
Reports of games come to the Nintendo Switch that look damn good.
Mm-hmm.
Doom didn't even take that much of a hit. And I would venture to say that Doom requires things that are more important than resolution, like frame rate.
Mm-hmm.
But, well, with Doom, they have a lot going on behind the scenes, especially in the Switch version, where it's like, things are loaded, they're not loaded, because with how you play Doom, it's very, very run and gun, so they only load what you need at that certain time, I believe. And with The Witcher, it's a whole open world, all of it sort of has to be as loaded as possible, similarly to Breath of the Wild.
Well, Xenoblade Chronicles 2 is comparable in size to The Witcher, and mm-hmm.
It still has loading in issues with enemies and things.
It does, but it's still, and even with the bad undocked resolution that game has
in frame rate, yeah,
it's still superior to what they're clocking The Witcher.
That's fair.
So I want to be as critical of CD Projekt Red as I can be. Like, I'm not going to say that The Witcher isn't a fantastic game. I'm certain it is. But at the same time, this is what happens when you try to make a quick buck, mm-hmm. and you don't actually take the necessary steps to optimize the game properly.
I mean, so I'm not a fan of The Witcher, but from everything I know about it, Witcher 3 is, I believe, currently the gold standard in RPGs, right? In open world RPGs. Currently,
Western RPGs, at least.
You're right there, actually. Yeah, I forgot to mention that. But it's like the gold standard, you know. Nothing since its PS4 launch has really topped it, in terms of overall quality. And you know, obviously, this is a less than quality port, but you're getting the complete edition. It's something that maybe a lot of Nintendo fans who are strictly only Nintendo or don't really play PC or whatever, haven't gotten a chance to experience. And so I think it, for them, people who might want to experience it, don't necessarily care about the graphical hit. You know, it's a big graphical hit, but I mean, I think it'll have its audience, people who like it and want to play it. See,
but that inherently works into my problem with the argument. Nintendo fans only buy Nintendo games. And it's like,
yeah.
The reason why Nintendo
only
buy Nintendo games is because when third-party developers make games for Nintendo systems, is they don't take the same level of care or effort that they put into releases on the PlayStation or the Xbox.
That too, yeah.
Like, you look at it, hey, we're gonna release a game on these two consoles, and if it's not simultaneously developed, like a game like Starlink or Wolfenstein Youngblood, the game
it's worse.
Yeah, it's gonna look like crap when they try to port it, because they're not trying to spend any real money on this development. They want to bottom line this so that it's like, we want this to cost a couple. I'm certainly cost them a couple hundred grand to port the Witcher. But you know, they don't really want to fund the game properly. That's kind of the reason why Xenoblade Chronicles X hasn't been ported, because the team at Monolith Soft, they're like, we want to port the game to the Nintendo Switch, but we want to do it right, and financially that would eat up a lot of money. So it's unlikely that you'll see Xenoblade Chronicles X on the Switch, because we do not want to, you know, the funds that we would need to make that game properly on the Switch, they would be high. It's partly the reason why Final Fantasy VII Remake took a long time to even undergo development, because it would be an expensive undertaking to remake these games. Instead of, it is what it is. Like, I don't want to talk crap about CD Projekt Red. Obviously, they're kind of killing it, but this was a bad call, in my opinion. I'm just gonna leave that one alone. Fire Emblem Three Houses was next up. I don't have a whole lot more to say about this game. I really didn't need to see any more of it. I was convinced from the direct that they dedicated to it. So all this did was just really, it really didn't do anything more for me. So does anybody else have any thoughts they want to share about Fire Emblem Three Houses?
I mean, it was really just kind of a story trailer, and the story seems interesting, and the voice acting seems pretty good, so I can't really complain from that standpoint, you know?
Yeah, I think this is more of just focus it on Treehouse, which I believe we got it on Treehouse today, rather than even just show the story trailer. I feel like they talked about, you know, the 5-year gap, and that was showcased in the trailer, where, like, okay, you teach all these kids in the school, and then the 5 years pass. So,
yeah, it's interesting because it makes me feel like this is going to be a much bigger game than they initially wanted to believe.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
All right. So,
but not much else I want to say. No.
Yeah. So let's do these next two stories and then we'll go ahead and we'll take a quick break.
All right.
So Resident Evil 5 and 6 getting ported to the Nintendo Switch. Interesting. Mainly because these are not the best Resident Evil games, but they're not terrible either. They're not terrible. Six is entering into the realm of terrible. But Final Fantasy V kind of takes a lot of the gameplay elements from Resident Evil 5 takes a lot of the gameplay elements present in Resident Evil 4, and it turns them into a little bit more run and gun, but it's still for the most part comparable. I do enjoy that story. There was a little bit of controversy when that game first got released.
I remember. Yeah, that
racial argument. But they're in Africa. There would be African people in Africa.
Yeah, right.
Like, hey, look, I'm not gonna start a flame war here. I just want to remind people that there was controversy about this game. But still. Resident Evil 5 is a fairly good game. I believe that game has a multiplayer two-player co-op, couch co-op. I wonder if they're going to extend that to online, because it did also have online co-op. I wonder if they're going to keep that in the game for the Switch port. I don't think we're going to get motion controls, because the motion controls were removed from Resident Evil 4's port, which was a bad idea in my thoughts, but it is what it is. But yeah. I have nothing terrible to say about these games. I've played them multiple times, so I'm going to skip these. But if you haven't played these games, they can be fun.
Yeah, and to be fair, I think Resident Evil 6 deserves a lot more credit than it's given. It wasn't a terrible game. I think its biggest downfall was that it was trying to merge three different play styles all at once. And when you try and do too much at once, very often you get a... and product that is just less than that. There's not the sum of the whole. It's just a less than.
Well, you know what they say: jack of all trades, master of none.
Right, exactly. But I mean, I still think it's Resident Evil 6 is worth playing if you're a Resident Evil fan. Resident Evil 5 is also worth playing, but still doesn't top Resident Evil 4.
Not most Resident Evil games don't. Resident Evil 7. Was them getting back on track, and it was a really good start for them. Waiting for that port now. That game is still playable on the Switch in Japan via the streaming service, which bothers me to no end. All right.
Right.
So, before we go on break, I really want to get into this game because I'm about to have a little moment. No More Heroes 3. No More Heroes 3, not Travis Strikes Again, which, let's just say, it wasn't a bad game. It just wasn't a great game.
It was lackluster.
It wasn't what we wanted. It looks like Suda51 knew that it wasn't what we wanted. And he's like, all right, fine. You guys want the numbers back? The numbers are back. No More Heroes 3, really cool trailer. I was confused at first. I was like, what is this? At first, I thought it was Marvel Ultimate Alliance. Just because the art style is very similar to what we're seeing in Ultimate Alliance 3. And the whole Iron Man-like moment where he, like, suits up in that gear. It wasn't until I saw the beam sword when he got to, like, the top of the ship and he, like, lands. I was like, holy fuck, that's No More Heroes. Then he gets out of the armor and I'm like, he's all, like, Travis touchdowned himself up. He's got his hair in the pompadour. He's got the classic red jacket, black shirt, the jeans, and the badass kicks. And I'm like, oh, Steph. He's like, oh, there are no more heroes in this world? You're wrong. I'm the last hero. And he's like, I'm also like the number one assassin. And then we get that awesome No More Heroes 3 logo. And I was sitting down. So there was a reason why I didn't do a live reaction to last night or yesterday's direct. My girl took off of work because she wanted to spend E3 with me. So we sat down. We watched the direct together. I was sitting on my recliner chair. And the moment I saw the beam sword, I shot up out of my seat. Just stood right the fuck up. And I'm like, holy shit. Then when he gets out of the armor, you see him in his gear. And I'm like, holy shit. And then the combat, they want to show you that this is a real No More Heroes game. So you have like the arrows that point up so he could do the belly to back suplex.
Yeah, the suplex.
And I'm like, oh, snap. They're going to start bringing things back. We're probably going to get motion controls in this game similar to how we had on the Wii. And
I hope.
This is all I can hope for, but I'm excited about this. And it looked like Sylvia's back.
Yeah, at the tease at the end. Yeah.
Man, yeah. Though,
how is she still alive? Curious. You killed her.
I mean, well, have you guys played Travis Strikes Again to the completion?
I'm still kind of working through it.
Okay, well, I don't know how she comes back, but people do come back.
Oh, fun.
Oh, yeah. Like Batgirl?
Yeah, and this spoiler. I don't know if I this was I don't know, whatever. I'll just stop. But No More Heroes 3 looks great. I had a kind of weird moment with you where I called it that I guessed myself like 3 times. It starts off, you know, he makes like a break the wall sort of reference, you know, and then it's like, okay, is this No More Heroes? And I'm like, wait, who is this guy? What is that pyramid thing like in the sky? And then he like says,
realize that when Travis isn't like done up, he doesn't look like Travis.
No
goatee.
Yeah,
like that was down, like
that wasn't Travis.
Like, I don't know this guy.
But so and then he like mentions the Empire Strikes Back, and I'm like, Travis Strikes Back. This is No More Heroes Again, right? And then Iron Man suit habit. Wait, this isn't No More Heroes. This is like Marvel. I had the same kind of like idea. Like, this is a Marvel game. What? And then I see the beam katana. Okay, No More Heroes 3. Let's go.
So,
you know, I'll admit one of the things that I thought it could have been was a reference to Astral Chain. Because that was the Henshin thing, right? And okay. it took me a moment to realize, oh, wait, yeah, Travis Touchdown's a bit of a weeb. So, he would do the Henshin, the stereotypical Henshin transformation thing.
Yeah.
But it looks, I'm stoked. Like,
You, as cool as Travis Touchdown is visually, when you start to realize that he's just a giant otaku.
Yeah.
Like, who's like... who loves wrestling way too much and like have all his little toys. You know what I really hope? And you know, and the only thing I have hope that the gross out humor is still there. And, you know, obviously, Travis Strikes Again did showcase a lot of that, like gross out humor, like the toilet saving file and whatnot. But I kind of want to see mini games brought back the way they were in No More Heroes
2. That'd be nice.
Where they had like that, like Burger Time, like style game. Like I need those mini games back. Suda 51 really I want to have faith in him that he can produce like a really nice closure to this franchise because this is a trilogy, so I'm going to assume that he's really just trying to close the franchise out because it's been the second game ends and it feels very undefinitive.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm hoping that with this game, he really wants to like wrap everything up in the bows that they deserve. And with that said, guys, man, I don't want to freak out about No More Heroes too much because we still have a lot to talk about. So what I want to do is I want to take 5 and obviously release my bladder.
Okay.
All right. We're going to take 5 and when we come back, we're going to talk about the
Hold on. You're not releasing your bladder. You're making a save file, right?
Yes, I'm going to go save the game.
Yeah, there we go.
But yeah, we'll be back in five. So please, guys, don't go anywhere.